Detektor FM. Zurück zum Thema.
This is Detektor FM with our special English edition for the Arts Plus at this year's Frankfurt Book Fair. One big issue of the Arts Plus is the impact of new technologies for the creative sectors. The Innovation Summit is an attempt to learn and discuss these effects. Ugo Bacchella is president of the Fitzcarraldo Foundation and the Art Lab in Italy, and he was part of the Innovation Summit at the Arts Plus and joins me here in this podcast. Hello, Mr. Bacchella.
Hello.
What are the learnings that you take home from the Innovation Summit here at the Arts Plus?
Well, probably the most important is that to move forward on the digital, let's say, contribution to cultural heritage exploitation in the best sense of the word, so more people aware of the relevance of tangible, intangible, and digital heritage, has to be based on an active participation of all the different actors of what I call the cultural and creative ecosystem, because it's something really new. It is changing and has an immense potential to bring the heritage to hundreds of millions of people. But in order to understand how to do that in the best way, in the most effective way, and because it is something really new, and there are, of course, different interests, so we need to combine all that, all the resources and the interest. So we need the innovators, we need the cultural institution, we need the public administration, the public sector. We need the investors, the private investors. We need to convince them it is really worth. So that's why something like the summit, the Innovation Summit, is interesting.
How do we do with this? I mean, how do we combine these different interests?
Well, we combine declaring the interest. I think that today, in general, but also in arts and culture, the way to overcome the conflicts is to declare them, to be open. So the different actors being open in saying what they expect, what they need, what they are business expectations, what are the public interest, and then putting all those interests on the table and understanding what is the best combination of all those interests. And in order to do that, there is, I think, it's really a matter of culture, because there is a reluctancy of many extremely good people running cultural institutions, because they are afraid that the digital is completely changing the usual rules of the game. So there is really a diffidence. They are reluctant. While I think it's the other way around. I think that they have to keep the lead of the process, but they have to open the doors to the new generation of innovators who know what are the potential of the new technologies. And the innovators, have to be in some way driven, and so there is a matter of mutual trust between those two group of people, and the coalition among them is the factor to move forwards.
So you're not fearing the digital technology for the cultural institutions?
No, at all. I have the same kind of attitude that I remember in Leonard Bernstein, the conductor, in an interview. He was interviewed by a journalist who was really scandalized by the fact that during a concert at lunchtime, after the first movement of a Beethoven symphony, they clapped furiously. And the journalist said, "Oh, Mr. Bernstein, it was so embarrassing. I forgive on behalf of the listener." And Bernstein smiled and said, "It was fantastic." Imagine, all those people did not know what Beethoven was. Fantastic. I would like people clapping during. It's fantastic. So I have the same attitude. I mean, I would like people who never, if you look at statistics, most of European not to mention the word, never get in a museum or a theater. There are countries where not more than one out of five or four people once a year enter in a cultural institution. So where is the problem? Where is the problem? I mean, the new technologies, if they are driven, can really open up fantastic opportunities of disseminating knowledge. And so, no, I'm not afraid at all.
What would you say are the major challenges that you see at the end of 2017 for the cultural institutions with the digital technology?
Well, again, the major challenge I see is the ivory tower syndrome. So they close the door and they resist, because not all of them will resist. So if there is not this process of combining the different areas of knowledge and interest, the risk is that there is a dissemination of merely commercial products, probably badly conceived, as sometimes we see. And the challenge is sitting at the table. As yesterday, Fabio Viola, who is an Italian video game designer, presented a fantastic project which is called Father and Sons, which has raised some complaints by those who think that cultural institutions are threatened by the new technologies. But the project has brought, it's a video game about the archaeological museum in Naples, can you imagine? But the results are fantastic. I mean, it's not dozens of thousands of downloads of people who then went to the museum, even with an economic impact, because the investment of the museum to produce the video game is already covered, and now they are gaining money from that. The age of the people visiting the archaeological museum went down by 10 years. So, but you have to face to accept the challenge, not to resist.
What can you learn from this specific example, that cultural institutions need to, broaden their perspective and say, hey, if I try something, maybe I gain more than I maybe lost?
Or yes, and we have a very good example, is the British Labs. The British Labs is a project which goes exactly in this direction. It was conceived because the British Library, which is one of the biggest libraries in the world, they have 180 million items. They digitalize 2 million, and then they ask themselves, now that a farmer in New Zealand can get access to 2 million of items, then? So they invented this program. The program is very simple and easy and works a lot. They have sort of award bursaries that allows technological innovators to be hosted by the British Library for 3 months. During the 3 months, they work with the librarians to understand and create new services and products. And the outcome was some products. I was told there was a video game based on a book of the 14th century. Was the ground for developing a video game that was extremely successful. So the British Library made some money through the royalties and promoted his code. But an outcome in long term, I was told by the director of the project, is that the staff of the British Library, instead, fantastic librarians, average age 50, 45, 50. Very little knowledge of what are the opportunities of technology. Learned, and he said it was exactly as sending all of them to a training program. But the difference was that they were at their own desk, working on their own stuff, with young people saying, no, listen, this does not work. But we can do this other kind of product. We can exploit that. We can have a new service of the library. So this, I think, is a very good example of what is called usually good practice with sometimes it's...
Thank you, Ugo Bakella from the Fitzgerald Foundation, for being on N99, the podcast from the Arts Plus, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Hat Ihnen dieser Beitrag gefallen? Dann bewerten Sie uns doch gern bei iTunes. Wir freuen uns über viele Sterne in den Bewertungen und Kommentare zu den einzelnen Podcasts.